we can chant this together.
Om Bhadram.
Om Bhadram Karne Vishvinu Yama Devaha Bhadram Pashye Makshabhiryajatraha Hirairangaihi Stushtuvagum Sastanubihi Vyashema Devahi Kanyadayuhu Swastina Indra Vrittashravaha Swastina Kusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Saraksho Arishtanemihi Swastino Brahaspatirtadatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We're on the second section, verse 10. Ishtapurtana. Ishtapurtam manyamana vrishtam. Ishtapurtam manyamana vrishtam. Nananyatshreyo vedayanti pramudaha. Nananyatshreyo vedayanti pramudaha. Nākasya prashte te sukrate nubhūtvā Nākasya prashte te sukrate nubhūtvā Imam lokam hinataram vā viśanti Imam lokam hinataram vā viśanti Iṣṭhā purtam manyamānāha varishtam Na anyat shreyaha vediyante pramudaha Nakasya prishte te sukrate anubhutva Imam lokam hinataram va viśanti Isha purtam manyamanaha varishtam. Manyamanaha, thinking, considering. Present participle of nature. Manyamanaha, thinking. Fourth of nature. Manyamanaha, thinking. Isha and purta, Brahma compound. Isha purtam manyamanaha, people, the pramudahas, we'll see. Thinking that Isha and purtam are varishtam, that they are the best. Ishta and speaking that this Ishta and Purusham are the best, Pramudaha, these deluded ones, known as the pearl, Vedayante, they don't know. Vedayante, Pramudaha, these deluded ones, deluded in this area, Vedayante, they don't know that other which is Shreyas. Na anyat, na vediyante, na vediyante, pramudaha na vediyante. Those pramudas, they don't know this other anyat, which is Shreyas. Okay, so we'll see what these words mean in a minute, just to get the basic sentence. Well, first part. The karmis, those who believe that doing the rituals and good deeds will lead to heaven. There are some of those karmis, the ones who are committed to doing rituals, the karmis who are committed to doing rituals and good deeds. Some of them believe that if Ishta and Purusha, these two things, Ishta are the yagas or all the rituals that are enjoined in the Vedas, right? And purtam are enjoined by the smriti. They're good deeds that are enjoined by the smriti, like digging wells, putting in waterways, making hostels, self-centers, all these types of charities, you know, making shawls for serving food, all of the variety of charities that can be done. These things, there's a whole list of them that are enjoined in the Smriti, not in the Vedas, in the Smriti. And so a combination of these, doing the rituals and the following the dharmas that are enjoined in the Vedas, and then doing all of the good deeds and the charities that are enjoined in the Smriti, or that are told to do in the Smriti, it is this combination of things that is considered to be Varishtam, the very highest. So by doing these things, you will get to the highest loka that you can get to through the doing of karma. It's a combination of ritual and good deeds. So here it says, these pramudahas, ones who are really deluded in terms of knowing what the actual reality is, these people, they don't know what is that other shreyas, that other which is shreyas. They think that by doing rituals and the good deeds that are enjoined in the Vedas and the Smriti, that these are the highest. This is the highest that you can do, that you can go. That other which is for shreyas, they don't know. Shreyas here is moksha. That which is moksha is atma-jnanam, okay, self-knowledge. So shreyas means that which is absolutely good, that which is good at all times, in all places, for all people. That is shreyas, the absolute good. So shreyas is the word that is used for moksha. And so when you say they don't know what is shreyas, means they don't know what is the means for shreyas. That they don't know. They don't know what shreyas is, and they don't know what the means for shreyas. They believe that by doing good deeds and by performing rituals, that is varishtam. Varishtam means that is the most exalted, that is the highest that you can go. And so for those people, naka sukrishte te sukrite anubhutva. Those people, naka sukrishte, they, having enjoyed what their karma phala, the fruits of their action, in the highest of the heaven worlds, thinking that these ishtapurta, these karmas, are the most that you can, by doing these karmas, you will get the highest reward. From doing these karmas, you will get the most sukha, the highest karmapala that is available for you. So some feel this way. So they've diligently done all of these. And yes, now they die, and then they go to this realm, this swarga, where there is no dukkha, so this high realm of swarga. And then, having experienced the karmapala there, then imam lokam hinataram va vishanti. Having experienced there, then vishanti, they enter imam lokam, this world. They come back to this world. This imam means this. This world that is before you. So imam lokam, they enter this world that is before you, hinataram, or a lower world. In the Bhasha, how Shankara deals with this in the Bhasha, having enjoyed the fruits of their karma, right, in a heaven world, right, they will then come back, and then based upon whatever karmas are remaining, and whatever is ripe to fructify at this time, will either take a birth here in this loka, a human birth, or will take a lower birth, either as an animal or as a bird, or in Nataka, right, or in a hell world, depending upon what the karmas are there that are waiting to be exhausted. So having experienced the heaven world, they come back to this world. Why? Thinking, believing that doing these karmas and doing these various rituals and these various good deeds, they will achieve the highest. These people, they don't know what shreyas is. And so experiencing these heaven realms, then they will come back. Because as we'll see when we get to the Parichalokan, two verses from now, any karma that is done, itself being limited, is going to give a limited result. And so, just like in this world, we do karmas in order to get a result, right? In order to achieve a result. And we do achieve the result, but the result is limited. So just as a limited karma here produces a limited result, karma which is by nature limited produces in this world a limited result, karma which is by nature limited will in that world produce a limited result. Because the laws of karma are the same throughout the creation. The laws of karma are the same.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, but it's probably better to turn it off.
Okay.
No, you just have it on. No, that's okay. Very, I love people's ringtones.
They want you at work.
I've been exposed to the most wonderful ringtones lately. Of birds and various things.
Frogs.
Anything imaginable. Beautiful ringtone. Anyway, the next verse takes it into even to a higher level, but I want to give a feeling of this verse first. For all of these series of verses where they're talking about the limitations of karma and the fruits of karma, all of it, to kind of understand the limitation, is to imagine in your mind the whole creation, or imagine a dream world, your own dream world, that has in it this loka and many higher lokas also, and lower lokas. And you as a jiva in this dream world, if you're a character in this dream world, and you learn, because you say you have the Vedas, in this dream world, you know that by, if you have Shraddha in the Vedas, that by doing certain karmas that are enjoined and not doing karmas that are forbidden, doing your duties and doing the appropriate karmas and doing also special karmas, you can actually gain the punya that will allow you to spend time in these higher, more subtle lokas, all of which are part of your dream creation. But you as a jiva, within that, as an entity within that dream creation, can actually do rituals and good deeds put together that will allow you to experience these higher lokas for a given period of time. Right? On this plane itself, on this loka itself, you may do good deeds, or may do a good job and get your 4-week vacation, or a 3-week vacation, or you'll get a sabbatical. You'll do something to earn a special result that is meant to give you pleasure, that is meant to give you happiness. So we can do that in this loka too. But we earn that result, and then we reap the rewards of that result in this loka. If you're part of the Vedic culture, it's not just this loka that you're thinking about. You're thinking about being able to have experiences that are more subtle, more sukham, give more happiness on higher levels of experience, on heavenly realms. And you're also thinking about doing karmas and good deeds so that you will deserve, you have enough punya to warrant getting a better body next time in this loka. Right? So there's accruing good, doing good karmas to gain happiness for itself, but also doing good karmas and enjoying rituals to gain happiness and experiences on higher levels. Okay? Now, most people, until they become a mumukshu, all they are thinking about is themselves as a karta. I am a doer. I am a jiva, an individual who is living within this creation. You can imagine your dream creation, you're an individual living within it. As that dream individual, all you know is that I am the jiva who is living within this creation, and I, this person here, can do rituals, right? And can do given karmas that will take me to a heaven world where I can experience nothing but happiness, you know, all positive. I don't know anything else. Nor do I think about anything else. There's nothing in me yet that is questioning and saying, well, all of these things are finite. All of these things come to an end. Any type of karma is going to produce only a limited result. I don't think about that. I just think about doing what I can do in order to produce for myself, to gain, to deserve a positive experience. This is samsara. This is not any different than what people do here. Just think of what do we do here? We try to do actions, rituals, karmas, not rituals, but I'm just facetiously. We try to do things which will produce for us positive results. Positive results means which will produce things that will make us happy. And maybe the closest we can get to Swarga Loka is maybe earning enough money so that we can retire on a wonderful island, or earning enough money or accruing enough time so that we can take a long vacation. These type of things. But we're always working to gain punya so that we can relax for a moment and enjoy sukha. We can go to a place, a vacation resort, some sort of situation where we can just relax and have a good time. So in the Vedic world, some people now are saying, if I can do these karmas plus good deeds, such as building wells and dams and hospitals and shalas of various sorts, hostels, helping people, feeding people, educating people, all of these two things together, this is the highest combination, not just doing the karmas. Before we were looking at just doing the Agnihotra, just let me do the karmas that are enjoined. If I do all the karmas that are enjoined for me to do, that will take me to Swarga Loka. These people are saying, let me do all of the karmas that follow the Dharma that is enjoined in the Vedas, and let me do all of these good deeds. If I put all of these things together, I will get the highest level of Swarga Loka. So say you're in Swarga Loka. Now, in Swarga Loka, say there are tears. There's happier, happier, and happiest. Some people are at a happier level of Swarga Loka. So say, I feel that by doing these things, I'll get as they say here, that which is prishtam, the highest ridge of that Swarga Loka, the highest amount of happiness that I could possibly get. And so this is what is there for me to do. These people that are called deluded, pramudaha, completely deluded, in this sense, I don't know who I am. Okay? I just take myself to be a jiva, an individual karta doer and enjoyer living in this creation. And living in this creation, this becomes the highest that I even know to think of achieving. Such a person who accepts I am a doer, right, doesn't know anything about that other thing, which is called shreyas, which has to do with knowing who I am. It has nothing to do with doing, but it has to do with knowing the truth of the whole thing. So here, na anyat shreyaha vediyante. They don't know this. They don't know about this at all. And so performing these deeds, they do go to these realms where they're able to enjoy this nakasya, this place where there is no dukkha, this high realm of experience. But having experienced that, then again, they come back to experience this loka, taking a human body, or hinataram, something lower. Something lower means tiryak, means an animal body, or that of a bird, or that of a worm, or that of even a lower loka, like a nataka, like a hell. All of these are also limited. This body, right, if you take a human body, limited. Limited by time, limited by quality, it will come to an end. If you take an animal body, limited, right? The particular type of animal that has a particular lifespan comes to an end. You go to a hell world, limited, right? You have some terrible experiences, just instead of no dukkha, no sukha, right? You go to one of those realms where there's no sukha. That's a hell. But it lasts for a period of time. And then you're released from that. So this is samsara. There is no constant experience in samsara. There is no permanent result. There is no infinite result to an action. Or I do this limited action and it gives me a limitless result. No. Limited action, limited result. So every action that I perform, every loka, every world of experience that I find myself in that world of experience, I come back again. And so here, he's talking in this verse, it's Ishtapurtam, the people who are doing this combination of rituals, like Agnihotra, and good deeds. Okay. In this next verse, we are going to the absolute highest that can be achieved by Jiva. Here. Tapashradde yehubasyam charanye yehubasyam charanye shanta vidvamsaha shanta vidvamsaha baikshacharyam charantaha baikshacharyam charantaha surya dwarena Surya Dwarena Te Virajakrayanti Te Virajakrayanti Yatramatasya Purushaha Yavyayatma. It says Sandhi Tapas Shraddhe Ye hi upavasanti aranye shantaha vidvamsaha vaikshacharyam charantaha suryadwarena te virajaha prayanti yatra Amrataha sa saha purushaha hi avyaya atma. Okay. Now he's talking about those people who not only are performing the rituals like the Agnihotra and the good deeds and whatnot, but truly the they perform the appropriate rituals together with upasana. This hasn't been talked about yet. Up to this point, we've only been talking about the karmis who are performing the actual rituals, the Agnihotra and various other even more sophisticated rituals. If upasana, if only the rituals are not done, are done without the upasana, certain meditations, a person cannot go to Brahmaloka. They go to Swargaloka, the highest of Swargaloka that they can go to. And from the Swargaloka they will return. Right? So they'll have that knock. Swargaloka is that knock. In Swargaloka there is no dukkha at all. Right? And it is considered for somebody as their Brahmaloka. If they're not doing upasana, that is the highest world that they can get, where they just enjoy Ananda completely, all of their desires are fulfilled and they come back. But then there is another group of people who are not only doing the rituals and duties that are enjoined upon them, they are also doing upasana. Now, upasanas are a type of meditation which is actually a visualization. When we're teaching, say in Vedanta, we're teaching meditation or Nididhyasana, where the mind resolves into the Atma. Right? And so, and the mind resolving into the Atma, I just abide as myself. In Upasana, we're not resolving the mind into the Atma. We're resolving the mind into a vision of the Lord. It could be a vision of like the Saguna Brahman, a vision of the Ishwar as a whole. It could be resolving the mind into the vision of Ishwar as a deity, or it can be resolving into the mind into a very intricate detailed vision that's elaborated in the Shruti, but you are focusing your mind on some form of the Lord. Right? So say, for instance, if I'm doing a meditation on Shiva, where I sit with my relaxed with my eyes closed, and in my mind's eye, I visualize Shiva sitting maybe in the lotus position with his eyes closed and that half smile. And maybe if I see the Shiva with kind of the half moon, where I have a complete visualization in my mind of the Lord. And then I will sit holding that visualization until I merge with that. That's an example of an upasana. I'm merging my mind with some sort of visualization as opposed to resolving my mind into the self. Right? And so there are many, many different elaborate upasanas where you're guided. It's like a guided meditation, but it's a guided visualization. And you learn these visualizations and you learn how to meditate on them and you hold them, and there will be some form of visualization which is some form of the Lord. Okay? And that's what we call an upasana. There's many different ones. So here, in reaching Brahmaloka, which is the highest loka, highest world that we can reach, where there's an identity with Hiranyagarbha, or else we are being taught by Brahmaji. These are two of the ways that it's looked at. You're actually merging with Brahmaji, with Hiranyagarbha, or you're able to be taught Vedanta by Brahmaji. Yeah. And it's a loka, and where you go to that loka, yeah, there is no coming back. In that loka, you're in that loka until the end of the kalpa, until the resolution of the creation being cyclical. So it's considered a great boon, very, very difficult to get to. It takes so many rituals, so much upasana, so much commitment to be able to get there. And then you never know if you're going to make it or not. So in Vedanta, in the Upanishads, they'll say, don't try for this. It's too hard to get there, you know. It requires too much, and once you don't know if you're going to get there or not. And then if you do get there, you'll be okay. But if you do get there, you'll have antakarana shuddhi and all of these things, and you can gain knowledge in that loka. From Brahmaji, you can gain knowledge. Stay there for the kalpa, and when the kalpa is resolved, when the creation is resolved, you'll dissipate, you know, that jivatvam won't be there anymore. And so you'll be liberated at the end of the kalpa, when the creation resolves. So that way, that's fine. Only problem is, extremely difficult to get there. Okay. One chance in a zillion. I think that's what Swamiji said in the commentary. You have one chance in a zillion. You want to take that chance. And you want to do the work that's involved. Very tough it is. Okay. But anyway, here's this verse. It says, Tapas Shraddha. Tapas and Shraddha. So it's a dwandra in the dual. Tapas and Shraddha. Yea, those who he indeed upavasanti. Those who are dedicated to, committed to, who are focused on tapas and shraddha. Tapas has to do with doing the duties that are enjoined upon you, depending upon your stage of life, whatever duties are there, doing those duties for antakarana shuddhi. Right? So whatever duties are there, whatever karmas are there to be done, you are doing those karmas devotedly, you're doing your rituals devotedly, but really for antakarana shuddhi. Right? In other words, you're not doing them for punya or papa, you're doing them for antakarana shuddhi. So here the rituals are being done together with Shraddha. Shraddha upavasanti means that a person is devoted to that Shraddha means a certain type of upasana on Hiranyagarbha. It's a certain type of upasana on Saguna Brahman. That's what the Shraddha upavasanti means. So with these two, tapas and Shraddha, The person is doing the rituals and the duties that are enjoined upon them together with upasana on Siguna Brahman. So doing that aranye in the forest, they're vanaprashas. They're people who now have left their grihastha ashrama, householder ashrama. They're not brahmacharis, they're not grihasthas. Now they're either vanaprashas, means they're living in the forest. In the forest really means they've given up their duties in terms of their householder life or any type of brahmacharya or householder life. They no longer have those duties. They're living in the forest means their life is on the edge of society. They're on the edge of society where their sole commitment is to the performance of ritual and vipassana. That is what they do, nothing else. That's their commitment. There's also a certain type of sannyasi that they've taken the sannyasa, they can't do rituals anymore if they've taken the sannyasa, but they just spend their life doing upasana on Siguna Brahman. It's a particular type of sannyasi. Those sannyasis, I forget the name for them, Swamiji talks about them in the Bhasha. These sannyasis believe that Brahmaji, Ishwara, is infinite, omniscient, so perfect in his being that I could never be that. I could never be Ishwara. Ishwara is because of infinite capacity, infinite power, infinite vibhuti, infinite glory. I, as a little jiva, could never ever be Ishwara. And so I spend my time as a sannyasi meditating, doing upasana on Siguna Brahman. That is what I do. So for these type of people, either if there's this particular type of sannyasi who continues to have given up all rituals, because when you take sannyasa, all of the rituals are given up that are enjoined upon you as a grihastha, as a householder. All of those are given up, but the meditation continues. For vanaprastha, you continue to do the rituals that will be with you until you take the sannyasa and until you take those vows, and you do the upasana. These two things, that is your life, that is what you do. And now, having done those, so living in the forest, doing those, those people become shantaha. Shantaha means, Shankara says, uparita karana gramaha. Those people become ones for whom the whole collection of indriyas, the karanas, the sense organs, the organs of action, the mind, all of their indriyas, their sense organs, mind, organs of action, they're all resolved. Right? Because the mind is continually involved in upasana. And so the mind isn't out, sense organs are not out wandering around, let me have this or let me have that. The mind and the sense organs are held in and focused only on this upasana. And so because of that, they are shantaha. The sense organs and the mind have become something which are silent. They're absorbed. Right? They're at peace. Right? Because totally turned toward, totally absorbed in the Siguna Brahman. Okay? That's the shantaha. Vidvansaha. Vidvansaha, what he means is grihasthaha jnanapradanaha. These people are grihasthas, they're householders now, unless they've taken this particular type of sannyasa, householders now for whom what is predominant for them is jnanam. Jnanam means upasana. Until we get into the prakarana, the section that's dealing with atma jnanam, we're talking jnanam. Jnanam and vidya are used as synonyms for upasana. So now, for these people, these grihasthas, what is predominant for them? What is preeminent? What is the most important thing? It is their jnanam. Means that cognition, the mind is turned totally toward Siguna Brahman. So that's what they spend their time doing. They're vidvamsaha. Jnanam is predominant for them. Then, vaikshacharyam charantaha. And they spend their time, what they do then, they are going about collecting bhiksha. That's how they eat. They go out to beg for their food. The reason they go out to beg for their food is because they now don't own anything. Right? They don't have anything. And they don't have a job. They don't have money. They're not collecting income at all. And so they go out for bhiksha. That's how they eat. Right? They're not supporting themselves. They're not engaged in the world in that way. They're only engaged in upasana and doing the rituals that are enjoying the pando. And they go out for bhiksha to have their food. In India, at least at this time, I don't know that it's that way now, all the householders expected, were ready for the sadhus and the people like this to come for bhiksha. So they would go to three houses. Every day they would go to three houses. If they didn't go get it in three houses, then they just meet that day. But they would go to three houses, get whatever food they could, and that would be their food for the day. That's what they mean by bhiksha. They would beg for their food by going to these three houses, at least traditionally. And that's how they would get their food. So these people would go about collecting bhiksha for their food. Their whole life would be focused on upasana and ritual, and they would be people whose mind was very, very quiet. Then it says, Surya dwarena te birajaha prayanti. These people, they who are birajaha, people, Shankara says of this birajaha, he says, Kshina Purya Papa Karmanaha Santaha. People for whom the Punya and Papa karmas have been loosened. Both Punya and Papa. Because these people are no longer seeking Punya or Papa. They are not doing anything to gain Papa. And they're not trying to do anything to gain Punya in terms of, let me have this so that I can be happy. All they want is to resolve into Hiranyagarbha, to go to that Brahmaloka, to be taught by Brahmaji, or to resolve as Hiranyagarbha. They are not looking to gain some sort of finite happiness, or to get rid of a dukkha. So sukha and dukkha are something on both ends that they're avoiding, right? One way to understand that, if I'm doing my rituals, and this is true for somebody in Mumukshu, if I'm doing the rituals for Antakarna Shuddhi, right? Say certain rituals are enjoined on me, right? I'm doing those rituals not so that I can gain punya, so that I'll get a heaven world, but I'm doing them with a prayer, with a sankalpa, may I have antakarna shuddhi. May I have purity of mind. So that's when I'm not doing it for papa, for punya, I'm doing it for purity of mind. And I'm also doing it to negate any papa. So by doing it, I negate any papa, and by doing it for antakarna shuddhi, I also negate punya. Right? So here, both punya and papa, on a relative level, are something that are not sought, are dismissed. And in that way, the person becomes a virajaha. So, Vedic form, virajaha. So, viraja would be better. Viraga would be better. Okay, so now, viraga means that which is without raga. It means I'm not seeking, right? I have a certain type of vairagya. I'm only looking to gain the antakarna shuddhi, and that will take me to the saguna brahma by doing the upasana and the karmas. So becoming one who's purified of these things, punya and papa, they go through the surya, through the gateway of the sun, Surya Dwarena. Where do they go? to that place where there is Amritaha Sapurushaha Hi Avyaya Atma, they go where that Purusha, Sapurushaha, who is Amritaha, immortal, free from death, that Purusha who is the Avyaya Atma, who is really the self of all beings. So when they go to that place, that sthana, which is Hiranyagarbha. Okay, so, just a few words on that sthana. What they say is that in this Brahmaloka, to go to this Brahmaloka, there's two ways that this is talked about. That the jiva that deserves this Brahmaloka, actually the jiva itself becomes absorbed into Hiranyagarbha. Upon death, the jiva upadhi is absorbed into Hiranyagarbha. Many jiva upadhis can happen, not just one, but many jiva upadhis can be absorbed into Hiranyagarbha. And so their experience of the creation is the experience of Hiranyagarbha until the dissolution of the creation. And then that jiva is liberated because Hiranyagarbha, being infinite intelligence, has knowledge. That's one way that it's talked about. I can't go into a lot of detail about this because I don't know. But I've asked Swamiji many times to try to make this clear to me. And the reason I've asked him many times is because it's not that clear. But this is what he told me. And I, in fact, recently I talked to him about this very verse. So, for a person who can go, who can gain this Brahmaloka, two ways it's looked at. A jiva can resolve into the jiva upadhi itself, can resolve into Hiranyagarbha, so it has the experience of Hiranyagarbha. I would say maybe something like when Krishna gave Arjuna the experience of the whole creation, like that the jiva upadhi can have the experience of that Hiranyagarbha sthana. And then when there's a dissolution, that jiva is released. Another is that the Hiranyagarbha, that sthana, where Hiranyagarbha is, where Hiranyagarbha is in the form of Brahmaji, as a Devapad, the form of Brahmaji, in that sthana, if you take it as an embodied sthana, where there's an embodiment of Hiranyagarbha as Brahmaji, then that person who goes to that loka will stay in that loka until the dissolution of the creation. And if they seek self-knowledge at that time, self in Taittiriya Upanishad, if they seek self-knowledge in that particular loka, they will be taught by Brahmaji himself, will gain knowledge and then be liberated at the dissolution of the creation. Because in Brahmaloka there's no return, there's no coming back. You don't run out of time in Brahmaloka. The running out of time is in the dissolution of the creation. And so if you gain knowledge as a jiva in that loka, then when the creation dissolves, that jiva is resolved. Just like for a jiva mukta, if you gain knowledge here, when this body drops, there's just simply a dissolution of the jiva. In fact, the dissolution of the jiva has really already taken place even before this body drops. But the body, mind, sense organs are here in Vijja form. Right? But the self that you are is Brahman. So when the body drops, that's it. There's nothing at all that travels. Well, in Brahmaloka, if the jiva is being taught by Brahmaji and gains knowledge, at the dissolution, right, there is no more jivatvam. So there's no more transmigration. There's no coming back at the next creation. Right? So there's that. That's looking at it in an embodied way where that jiva is taught by Brahmaji and will live out the whole time as long as the creation is there until it resolves in Pralaya. Or the jiva will have identity with Hiranyagarbha at the next manifestation of the creation. The creation is cyclical. So any jiva that deserves that sthana will have identification with Hiranyagarbha at that time. And then having identification of with Hiranyagarbha, we'll have the knowledge of Hiranyagarbha, and then at the end of that creation, that jiva dissolves. These are the two ways that this Brahmaloka is looked at. I'm sure that they have very elaborately detailed knowledge in the Puranas and in the Vedic literature about this. This is as much as I know. That's the highest that a person can gain in samsara. Okay, so it says, Shankara says a few things about him. Shankara says in his in the Bhasha here, he says, some people consider, well, first of all, he says, this is the highest gati in samsara that's available in apara vidya. You know, apara vidya means that which the Vedas give, all of the rituals, all of the upasanas, everything that can be gained from the Vedas that has to do with kartrutvam, with doership. This is the highest sthana that can be gained, he says. And then he says, isn't it some people, he brings in this doubt, nanu, he says, some people think that this is moksha. Mm. Some people desire this state to be moksha. They say, this is gati. You know, this state of being, this is moksha. And Shankara says, no. He says, in moksha, he says, iha eva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. He says, in moksha, all desires are resolved here itself. Like he gives two very famous verses. And he says, when a person has moksha, then when this body drops, there is no moving on, right? There's no jiva that moves on. When this body drops, right, all of the elements go back to the elements, and the conscious being that you are becomes the being of all beings, right? So there's no traveling, because the upadis go back to the elements, and so you just become the being of all beings. So traveling comes to an end. So that he gives two famous verses there, and he says, "This is what the Shruti says." And so this verse here, he says, this can't be talking about moksha because of these two famous Shruti verses. He says, and also because this section is not the prakarana. This section is not dealing with moksha. This section is dealing with samsara, and this section has just gone through, right, in a very methodical and orderly way, what are the levels of experience, the highest levels of swarga that you can get, starting with the heaven worlds that you can get from just doing ritual, then the worlds that you can get from doing ritual and good deeds, then the worlds that you can get, what happens to you if you do rituals and upasana together, which is the very highest that you can get in samsara. But for all of these worlds, what is remaining for you is the kartrutvam, the ajnanam, the doership caused by the ajnanam, you know, that I am a doer. And the worlds that I am achieving are achieved through karma. And that means that the result that they give is a limitless result. Closest we can get to a limitless result is this identity with Hiranyagarbha, or being able to stay as a jiva in the Brahmaloka until the dissolution of that loka. And in that loka, I can gain knowledge from Brahmaji. Right? Gain knowledge from Brahmaji, then live out my life as long as the creation remains manifest. And then in the unmanifest creation resolved, I will acknowledge and be released at that time. Or if I have identification with Hiranyagarbha, because Hiranyagarbha is all knowledge, when the creation comes into pralaya, into unmanifest condition, at that time will be released, because having identified with Hiranyagarbha, I will gain knowledge. In either case, in order to be released from samsara, I have to have knowledge. Because if I don't have knowledge, the cart foot torn, the doership is still there. As long as the doership is still there, I will remain as a jiva within the creation, being bound by the karma, being bound by desire for the results of my actions, so that I can gain the limited experiences of punya that every samsari seeks. It's just we seek bigger and bigger and bigger and better. But the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and better is being revealed. You function. I spent all this time trying to reveal that this bigger and better, these worlds of Swargaloka, these heaven worlds, are all temporary, you know. And so now, after having done all of this work, so he starts the actual Upanishad. He's going to start the actual Upanishad in terms of giving knowledge now is going to start. Let's just chant it, and then we'll actually see what it means tomorrow. And then next week. Let's see.
Good seeing tomorrow.
I'll come again.
This verse we're going to chant. Swamiji chants this verse so often. Right? It's just, it contains so much in it about Vedanta. Parikshalokan karmachitan. Parikshalokan karmachitan. Brahmanaha. Nirvedamayan. Nirvedamayan. Nastrakritaha. Kritena Tadvijnanartam Sagurim Ivabhigacchet Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Prichalokan Karmachatan Brahmanaha Nirveda Mayat Nasya Krittaha Kritena Tadvijnanartam Sa Gurumeva Bhikachet Samit Panihi Shrutrim Brahmanishtam. Okay. We'll see this next week.
Oh, great. So
okay. Let's just take a minute. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.